The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Elon Musk.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls of all ages. I am Roger B. This is Locked and Loaded, and you're listening to America's Web Radio. Now, right before Victor left for his last break, he was talking about an interview between Donald Trump and Elon Musk.
Yep.
And I saw brief little bits and pieces of this online, and it seems like they seem to be on the same page of a lot of stuff.
I would tell you, Roger and all your listeners, you should go and when you get a chance, just go listen to some of that interview. Donald Trump's for 2 hours, spoke candidly with Elon. And I'll tell you what, this is where Donald Trump is at his best. If Donald Trump would campaign like he just spoke with Elon, he would win this election in the biggest landslide.
Hands down, yeah.
Because he talks policy and he just goes back and forth, person to person. I mean, you know, go listen to it and I think you'll be impressed. And, but it's something that Trump needs to continue to do. And I've said it before, Trump's at his best when he's just talking to people about policy. He's at his best.
Right.
And let's face it, Roger, you and I talked about this before. Elon Musk is probably the smartest dude on the planet. And you brought up a good point. It's probably because he's
not from this planet.
He might be a true alien.
He wants to go to Mars. I think he just wants to go home.
Go home? Can we have an African American alien? Because I think that's what he is.
Wow, that's entirely possible. I wonder sometimes.
Especially
the way he does things.
Dude is just brilliant. He really is. I mean, and again, you and I have talked about Elon for years. I mean, we both think he's very straightforward
with everything.
Yeah, I think he's a good guy. I've always been a fan of his. Even when he was a leftist libtard, I was a fan of his. No one can take away the intelligence of that man. And the things that are gonna come from his brain that we haven't seen yet.
Fact that he's sitting there talking politics with people, most people of that intelligence level don't want to talk about politics.
You're absolutely right, Roger, and that's a point that should be made. I don't think people understand really. And let's face it, there are people out there that think they're the smartest, especially Democrats. They think they're smarter than everybody. But Elon Musk truly is on that accelerated
plane. Yes.
I mean, he is on an intelligence plane that most of us, we might jump up every now and then with a good idea.
Right, and our fingertips might break the barrier.
Yeah, we might break that barrier a little bit.
He's living up there.
But he lives there. He lives on this other plane of intelligence that most of us are not going to be able to live on. And when you got that kind of intelligence, it really is. I mean, it's like watching Sheldon to the
Big Bang Theory, yeah.
Yeah. It's like watching that to the nth degree. I mean, that's Elon Musk.
He is a little bit socially awkward, though.
He's a lot socially awkward.
You can listen to
the interview and tell that he's on the spectrum by the way he speaks.
Yeah.
Because when you're that intelligent and your brain is working that fast, it's hard to get the words out. And you can hear Elon struggle.
He's learned to hesitate a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely. And you hear it. You'll hear that in him.
He's thinking it through. He's listening to it going, okay, this sounds good. I had to pre-hear it before I spit it out there.
He was so good at talking with Trump, and Trump was so good with him. And this is another reason why anybody who says that Trump is stupid, you're out of your damn mind. Trump's not a dumb guy.
We know somebody who's met Trump in person and had conversations with
him. Yeah, absolutely.
The sergeant's wife.
Yep, the sergeant's wife.
She was down in Florida, Mar-a-Lago.
And it changed her opinion.
Friend of hers. Yeah. She said he's talking to you, he's looking at you, he's listening, he hears everything you say.
Mm-hmm. He is.
And he responds accordingly, and he just, he sounds like he cares.
Any good CEO knows how to listen. Because if you don't know how to listen.
Richard Branson said it best, I think, when he goes. He was talking about companies and how to be successful. He goes, take care of your employees, they'll take care of your customers.
Well, 100%. 100%.
And I think Trump realized if he takes care of the American people, they'll help back him.
They'll help back him. Of course. But there's so much to be said about just the way that these two talked. And like I said, it needs to be Trump's campaign. But if you didn't hear it, go back and listen to some of this.
I saw some transcripts of bits and pieces here, but I want to watch the whole thing.
But go back and listen to it, because listening to Elon Musk, and like I said, you will appreciate this man's intelligence by listening to the way he speaks and the way he tries to get the words out.
So many people trying to log on to the live stream.
It was
bogging down and having issues.
That's the other thing. They're talking billions of people around this world that were at some point Maybe not to the whole thing, but at some point we're tuned in because they wanted to hear Elon Musk talk to Donald Trump.
Right.
I mean, and this is what freaked the Democrats out. I wasn't kidding at the end of my show, Roger. The Democrat Party, the party who says they're saving democracy, was trying to shut down Elon Musk. A free speech. He's in the United States. I believe he's a citizen now.
Yeah, and he's got citizenship.
And
now.
All he was doing was practicing his free speech. A free. This is not a government business.
And this is a guy. Who sells more electric cars than anybody in the world.
And they hate him
now.
They hate him for it. In fact, you've got a lot of politicians now who said, "We're going to sell our Teslas." Well, go sell them then.
Yeah.
Put your money where your mouth
is. Remember what he said?
You know,
they asked him. They said, "Well, you know, your political opinion on X is." You know, changing the way some people look at you is changing your advertisers. They don't want to spend money on that because of your political opinions. You remember what he said to that?
What did he say?
F you.
He goes, right.
You're trying to blackmail me with money?
With money?
He's worth $250 billion. Dollars. You think he gives a crap if Disney advertises on his platform?
The man who created the EV wave and created the best EV, if you're going to buy an EV, it's Tesla's the only one you should buy.
Their charging network is over 50,000 strong.
I was going to say, they're the only one that has a charging network.
Now, other people have unfortunately, it was government sponsored.
And that's terrible.
That's what ruined it.
Joe Biden spent $1 billion taxpayer dollars and built one charging station, and it doesn't work.
Yeah.
So that, does that tell you?
It's terrible.
I mean, it's a bad system.
Just outside of the realm, but now Tesla's coming out with his new car next year. The Roadster. You seen that thing yet?
Let's hope it does what it says it can do. It's going to be. Look, like I said, Elon Musk is amazing. What he's done with Tesla is amazing. Now, I will make fun of EVs all day long.
Oh, I know.
But I will tell you, if I was going to get one, it'd be a Tesla. And I think the Tesla's in a great – look, the technology is amazing. I don't have a problem with it.
It needs to get better, though.
Of course it does.
Now, most EVs run about 200 miles, or they're rated at 200 miles on the charge. And you take 20% of that away from the top charge, the bottom charge.
At least.
And you end up with 150 mile an hour.
And they also don't tell you is when you get down to when your battery's saying you got 30% less left, they don't tell you that 30%, it ain't going to drain like it drained when it was 100%.
It's just like a gas tank. The first half goes really slow and the second
half goes
really
fast. Well, imagine that happening to your battery.
To whatever it is. Yeah, whatever car you're driving.
It's worse with a battery.
Yeah, it can be.
But,
I don't know.
I'm
still experimenting with that.
Right.
Because I just bought a Tesla.
Don't experiment too hard.
No.
Because if we have to come pick you up, we're going to laugh at you.
Oh, yeah, I'll never live it down. I understand that.
But the point is the EV technology, it is pretty awesome. And Elon Musk.
It needs to make a drastic
Elon
step
Musk
forward,
is the
it
man. But the Tesla, if you're going to do it, that's the way to go. He's got a good – and listen, it's the private sector that's doing it.
Right.
The private sector has made the best product. All these other companies out there that are doing the bidding of the government and taking the government grants. Now, Elon Musk did get this created because of – taxpayer dollars.
There's still $7,500 federal tax credit.
So he still takes advantage of that, but yet he still created a damn good product. He really did. He created a good product.
But
I know there's problems with him,
I
know that Cybertruck has been an absolute mess.
I don't know. They got people using it as if they would some, you know, monster truck in a competition.
Well,
it's not going to do that.
There have been some that haven't made it off the parking lot.
I didn't hear about that.
There's a huge recall. There's a big issue.
Well, you know, there are cars other companies have made that have malfunctioned in the parking lot also.
It's his first attempt at a truck. Give the guy a break.
Yeah.
You know, but the point is, listen to the interview, because listening him talk to Donald Trump was really, really, really amazing. Just hearing them laugh and speak about the issues, hearing Elon Musk go from, he used to be a libtard, and now,
he used to be on the Democrat Party side when the Democrat Party was more middle of the
road. He was a leftist. He even said to Trump, he goes, you know, I used to be of the leftist. I was a leftist. And then you gotta listen
then
to
that. As the left drifted further to the left, they left him behind.
Yeah.
Zell Miller, the politician from Georgia. He said, I didn't leave the Democrat Party. They left me.
They left him.
Their way to heading more left, they left me.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. But yeah, Roger, it's good. You should go listen to it.
I'm going to. Everybody out there, you need to listen to this too. Apparently, this is one of the smartest, richest guys on the planet talking to our,
hopefully the next president. But when the smartest guy on the planet endorses Trump, You should probably think about voting for Trump.
At least consider it. Do your own research, though. I'm not going to tell you to listen to us.
Absolutely.
Do your own research. Yeah. See what you find in reality.
If you like high gas prices, if you like high inflation, then
What about Kamala? She's telling everybody, I'm going to do this, I'm going to do that. Oh. It's like, you've been in office for 3.5 years with essentially an invalid who you could have done anything you wanted.
She could have done anything she wanted.
She could have guided him in any direction she wanted, and she chose to not do a thing.
She chose to not do a thing because all she did do was push her radical progressive agenda. I mean, this is the lady that said she would blow up 200 years of Senate, traditions. She would blow that up to pass the Green New Scam. She would pass the Green New Scam. And listen, you think it's hard now paying utility bills? Wait till they get this full Green New Scam passed.
Yeah, how is paying more money going to fix anything?
Yeah, exactly.
And did you see? There was a story today that came out. They found in Greenland, which if you know anything about that area, Greenland is covered in ice. They found in Greenland that there were flowers that were basically fossilized there that could never grow there with the weather that's there now.
Mm-hmm.
And they're figuring they're a couple hundred thousand years old. So apparently at one point, Greenland was green.
Greenland was green.
And that was before there were any gasoline, diesel, any kind of fossil fuel burning vehicles were on the planet.
Yeah.
Greenland was green.
But they don't want you to know this stuff because you might actually use your brain and go, hey.
So if we're just turning, we're going through a cycle now.
You always
go through a warming cycle before you head into another ice age.
It's just like when they, in these parts of the country where there's lots of ice and some of it has melted and they're finding tools. They're finding mining tools.
I saw that. Mountains in Europe.
Yeah, they said that no one's ever been there. Nope, they have.
Yeah,
because it used to be warm.
Got a little warmer. The stuff melted. They found all these mining tools in these mountain caves. And what the people there would do, they'd mine during the summer. And then in the winter, they'd leave the tools there. And then they'd go back and get them the next summer.
Yep.
Until it got to the point where it froze over and would not thaw.
Because of
and this was dirt. This is a time when man was on the planet because there were man-made tools.
Yeah, but there were no diesel engines,
there was no gas, no propane, none of this stuff.
You can't blame man-made climate change for the climate that has been changing for billions of years.
I don't know if you remember in the 60s, 70s, they were threatening. They said we're heading into another ice age. The whole planet's going to freeze over. Everyone's going to die.
In the 60s and 70s. Yeah, absolutely, Roger.
And now all of a sudden, we're getting warmer. We're all going to die.
You were going to freeze to death. And when people didn't believe that, they switched to.
Well, it started getting a little warmer.
Burn to death.
We're actually coming out of an ice age at that point.
We're out of ice age. And now.
And we're going to be warming now is to warm for a while.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not like it hadn't happened every time throughout our history.
Be about to hit the next cycle because the planet's actually cooled in some areas. So nobody knows. I mean, nobody was here.
There are people who know, but they are not allowed to speak.
They're not allowed to speak, or at least they theorize. But like I said, look how long the planet's been here.
And they know there have been cycles of warmer.
We can go back, 100 years and see what the temperature was?
Yeah, maybe 150 years. Yeah,
you can't go back a million years. I mean, it's.
Yeah, we're looking at 1 inch in a 100-mile road.
100-mile road.
And trying to make determinations based on that 1 inch.
Yeah.
They just can't be done.
But what we can do is figure out that flowers are being found in Greenland, so clearly
that
it used to
apparently
be green.
Never existed and, since man right, has
since
known
man has
people.
Known,
yeah.
And then there's tools being found from in under ice caves. I mean, it's crazy. Yeah, Greenland is a lot white. It's awfully white right now.
Yes, it is very racist. Yes,
I mean the Democrats say they want to be socialist like some of these countries, but I don't know if they realize how white these countries are.
I know that's being rather prejudiced.
That's very highly
far prejudiced. Too white. But yeah, I mean it's funny because Iceland is green and Greenland is icy.
Yep,
and it's just odd because I think it's Iceland that has all the thermal energy underneath the surface. Yeah, they have tons of hot water springs stuff. Of course, right now the country's pretty much on fire. Volcanoes started erupting. So their source of energy is going to end up killing them.
Yeah. Man.
But it's crazy. I mean, Iceland is a country that has less people than the least populated state in the United States.
United States, yeah.
So it's an interest. I was there this year, so I remember seeing some of the stats
pretty,
on stuff.
Pretty cool.
It's amazing, yeah. It's pretty cool. But no, the new Tesla, I got to tell you real quick, he's building a Roadster, a full-on sports car.
Mm-hmm.
Removable middle roof, four seats.
Yeah, oh, cool.
0 to 60, 1.9 seconds.
In under 2 seconds.
Top speed over 250 miles an hour.
That is one fast golf cart.
I know.
Mean, damn.
I mean, over 250.
Do you remember one of the first things the first Tesla that he came out with was a Roadster?
Yeah, back in 2010.
Yeah.
And it was very limited in scope.
Oh, it was. First thing he was working on. I mean, but
this thing is going to be a supercar, unprecedented performance.
As kind of cool that first Roadster was being his first project, imagine what this one's going to be like.
Oh, now that he's mastered some of the technology, and now he's building his own batteries that are better quality than what he can get anywhere else.
It's going
to
be.
I mean, imagine a car that goes over 250 miles an hour and does 0 to 60 at 1.9 seconds.
That's pretty sweet.
It's like,
the only thing it's lacking is the sweet sound of a V12.
A V8, V10, V12.
That's why I could never let that go. But
it's going to have a 200 kilowatt amp hour battery.
Yeah.
Which is twice as big as almost anything else on the market. He's claiming you're going to get up to 600 mile range on
We'll see.
I know.
It's
going to be a 200,000.
They've never gotten what they've claimed.
Tesla's always closest to their estimations than any other company.
Yep.
But so they're also going to have, you know, it's with that kind of battery power, you're going to be able to actually go, if you're easy on it, you might be able to go 600 miles.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Again, it's going to depend on a lot of factors, but hey. But at least with Tesla, he's working on a network, so you can.
Yeah, well, he knew that was going to be, the logistics were going to be the gateway to building a successful electric car.
Yep.
And I haven't done it yet, but there are people who travel with them, and they tell me some of these things where they run across, they follow your route
can't be necessarily the quickest route. It has to be the charge station route. Which is another issue.
Now they rate it on speed also. If you want to go faster, they'll tell you, stop here, charge for 10 minutes.
Yeah.
Go to the next charger, charge for 20 minutes.
Yeah. But here's the problem that you got to be prepared for. Not all the chargers are going to be working all the time. And
now, the Tesla chargers are up at over 90%.
I know, but they still have failures. And
like gas stations have failures too. How many times do you see a garbage bag over a gas pump?
But Roger, how many gas stations are on the corner?
Millions.
How many charge stations are on the corner?
A lot less.
Exactly.
But look at how many. There's a lot less.
I am not worried about finding gas.
There's a lot less.
I would be worried about charging my battery.
There's a lot less electric cars on the road than there are gas-powered cars.
Well, of course. But
I mean, I remember during the hurricane we had, about 10 years ago, you couldn't find gas anywhere.
Oh, yeah. Because,
that was rough. I happened to work with convenience stores, so they would tell me, go to pump 7. I save gas for us over there. They had shut down, no gas, but they let me get some because I was there.
Yeah.
And I couldn't imagine if I didn't have that advantage.
I mean, Democrats love to have chaos like that to where you.
But now imagine this, though. There's a guy who was posting, he had a story about his Nissan Leaf. You know, I know one of the first early cars that took full advantage of all the government.
Ooh, I remember that. You could drive a Leaf. You could be paid to drive a Leaf.
Yeah, or get one for like $29 a month. It was ridiculously cheap to have a lease.
Good.
A lease on a Leaf.
I almost did it. It was crazy.
And he had solar panels on his house. And he's been driving for 5 years without paying a dime
for any kind of efficiency. That's great.
But, you know, I have yet to see the guy who's built a refinery in his backyard to refine crude oil.
Yeah. I would like to. Don't get me wrong.
Yeah.
I'd love it.
That would be cool, but that would take so much energy and time and effort while solar panels can provide you with energy. Now, they still have to make a breakthrough in the efficiency of solar panels.
Oh, of course.
To where they get to that point
and there's the storage
problem that
they got to figure out at some point.
Again, that's going to be battery.
But
I mean, look how far we've come in batteries already.
Oh,
we started off with the NiCads, the nickel cadmium batteries.
Mm-hmm.
Then we went to the nickel metal hydride batteries.
Yep.
Now we're into the lithium hydride batteries.
Yep.
And they say the next step may be sodium, which can store three times as much energy, charge 10 times faster.
Faster. And then nuclear.
Yeah. Well, they already have.
I mean,
there's a story I talked about a few months ago.
Yeah,
they have small. Now, these are small batteries.
Right.
Like,
it'll
power your cell phone, but it'll power your cell phone for 10 years.
Yeah.
Imagine never having to charge or replace your battery in your cell phone for 10 years.
I don't know if we'll be here, Roger, but the technology is coming.
I mean,
there's going to be some awesome stuff coming down the pipe. There's no doubt about it. We'll see how long we're here.
Yeah, well, like
what
I say,
we get to see.
Now, this, it's funny because the power companies are pushing back on this solar panel stuff. Because, like I say, my brother, he's in California, and he was thinking about putting solar panels on his house. But if at any point his solar panels start, if he's not using all the power from his solar panels and it feeds back into the system, they charge him for energy he puts back into the system.
Really? Because here they'll actually pay you for it.
They stop that too. You cannot get paid for it
anymore. In Georgia too?
They won't charge you for it, but you're not getting paid anymore.
Oh, yeah, because they should.
The power companies have realized we're not in the business of buying power for people we don't know.
They're in the business of making money.
Exactly. And they're starting to it's starting to come down to people are having these issues, and the power companies are pushing back.
Leave it up to California to do something.
Yeah. So now he has to be careful. If he puts power back into the system, they will charge him for that power going back in.
Yep.
And it's like he's got to, and there's all kinds of shutoffs and metering choices you can make in order to keep that from happening. But it's the fact that they charge you.
He should just funnel power to his neighbor.
Even if they didn't pay you for it, even if they just took it back for free, it'd be fine.
Yeah.
But now they're charging you to give it back to them.
Crazy. Oh, that's probably some Democrat idea than California.
Yeah, probably so. Well, because when they realize that more and more people are taking advantage of money falling from the sky like that, they realize, oh, we got to shut this down. We're not in the business of not selling energy. That's what we do.
Crazy.
And of course, California has some of the highest electric rates in the country.
Yep.
I think they're running at like 33 cents a kilowatt.
You know, it's crazy. If there's one place that really should bend over backwards to help, but see, this is, the government doesn't want to help anybody. They just want power. But
well, California, they want to make deals to make money.
California, I mean, they have a lot of sun.
In the southern part of California,
Southern California. So, they should go out of their way to try to help people get solar panels and do whatever they need
to do. Well, they do. They have tax
But it shouldn't be the government. Yeah, the government doesn't need to be doing that.
If you apply for the tax refund, you could go to the local Harbor Freight River and buy solar panels, put them on your house, and generate power. Mm-hmm. But you do not get a credit for that unless you have it installed by the authorized dealer who charges 10 times as much.
Exactly. No, that's what I said. If the government would get out of the way, you don't need subsidies. You don't need any of that crap. Just get out of the way. Get out of the way and stop taxing the shit out of people.
Make them,
and then people can afford it. The free market would take care of it if the government would get out of it. But the government is hindering. We would be further along in a lot of technology if the government would get out of the way.
Right, yeah, because they say they're helping forward it. They're not.
No, they're not. They're slowing it down. They're impeding progress. They always
exactly. But imagine having, and it's funny because we had a guy. I had a guest in here one time talking about efficient houses and solar panels as far as preppers and stuff like that go. And he was saying, yeah, with solar panels right now, you can't power your whole house.
Right.
And a lot of people are like, oh, I kind of want to go off the grid with my solar panels. Without storage, you can't do that.
Right.
But he said, what if I gave you a coupon to go to Walmart? And it was good for 50% off anything you bought. Would you say, no thanks, I don't want it. Say, I only want 100% coupon.
I only want 100%.
No. And exactly. If you could save half on your power bill every month, I mean, especially now.
Hell, I almost did solar panels on my house now. But I didn't do it because of the stupidity of the price to get it installed.
Yeah, that's
the ridiculous.
But now it's getting down to the point where they have DIY kits. You can install this stuff yourself.
Yeah. Now
high quality panels are becoming available much cheaper.
When you can do it, and in Georgia, you probably could. So my next house, I do plan to do.
Yeah,
I've heard it described as
money falling from the sky. Why not catch some of it?
Yeah, exactly.
You know,
it's just smart. I could care less about the politics of it. But when I can save money,
the green that you want to deal with is the money.
Is the money. I'm all about a green deal if it's cash in my pocket.
Making money for me, yes. That's the green I'm interested in.
The company came out and everything for my house now, but then I thought, no way, this is stupid. So cost prohibitive, but I knew eventually I wanted to leave. So now the next place that we're looking for now,
put them on early right away.
I want to put them on there.
I have a friend. He's had panels on his house for 20 years, and he said he's never had a bill more than like 50 or 70 bucks for his house.
Yes.
And it's a 3-bedroom, 2.5-bath house. It's a decent size house. And he said they're still running at over 80% efficiency.
That's awesome.
So they haven't degraded like they thought they were going to.
There's old
wives' tales about they degrade in 10 years and stuff.
That's not true anymore. It depends on the area. It depends on where you are. It depends on the storms and things like that. But
but so does your roof and your water and your gas bills.
Yeah, where we are, we have We have good Sundays.
As long as you have good exposure. I mean, we have good exposure. That's the thing. And a lot of times trees have to be taken out.
Oh, yeah.
Drive the environmentalists crazy.
Exactly. But well, wait a minute. See, you want to make a environmentalist head. You want to explode an environmentalist head? Hey, I'm going green with solar panels. Great. I got to cut these trees to do it. Oh. So you can blow their mind. No, I'm green. No, you're not. You're killing trees.
I'm putting up solar panels.
Green. But, I'll wipe out some trees because I can use the wood.
That's
right. When you have our next move is a farm, and I can use the wood for
things. You got plenty of stuff. I had to end up harvesting some wood this past week when a tree fell down.
Absolutely.
My yard. But, so I got a stacked wood pile now.
Yeah, I'll clear out. Like my house now is unbelievable sun exposure.
Yeah, you got your whole front yard. You got good exposure.
I mean, so many hours, maximum hours of the day does that get sunlight.
Yeah, I would still have to remove a ton of trees to get maximum exposure. But again, I'm not planning to sit there long enough to worry about it. It's too much house for me.
But the next place.
But and the longer you wait, the more efficient the solar panels get, the cheaper they get.
They're getting better and better. There's no doubt about it.
Because solar panels are, that's going to be, the next big jump is going to be efficiency in solar panels.
Efficiency.
Jump by
storage.
20, 50, 100%, then everyone's going to have them on their house because there'll be no reason not to.
Because there'll be a reason not to. And the storage is going to get better. They'll make breakthroughs.
Well, that's, again, the batteries.
If they would do, if our stupid government, namely Democrats, would get out of the way, imagine if we had, say, a fair tax system, a consumption tax system, and the economy's flying through the roof, innovation's going crazy, then we will get there quicker.
The Democrats will never give up that much power.
Of course they're not.
Politicians are not going to say, we're going to give up this much control over stuff.
But that's why I say politicians are full of crap.
And then their kickbacks all disappear.
Exactly. If they really cared about the planet, if they really cared about people, then they would do what's right to get out of the way so that we could get, but they'll never do it. Because they don't care about the environment, they don't care about people.
I know. And it's funny because people talk about Trump's doing it for the money. It's like, he has enough money.
He's the one guy not doing
20
it.
20 lifetimes,
He's the one. I mean, this guy's the only politician in, I don't know
in
how
long. The last 50 years that who has come out of office
poor.
Less money than he had going
in. He didn't go in broke and come out rich. He went in rich and came out rich, just a little less rich.
A little less rich. He actually lost money running his campaigns and everything.
Yeah.
But you know what? That's the kind of person, it's like, I think it was Mark Twain said, the only way for people to make money in politics is to be corrupt.
Yeah.
To be a crooked politician is the only way to get rich in politics. Man, and that's exactly true.
Listen to this headline before we go to break. Listen to this, Roger, because we're talking about climate and all that crap. The Washington Post inflates impact of global warming by 3,600%.
Of course.
To put forth their fake story and their fake climate. And this is what I mean. If they would stop doing that and get out of the way, we would actually have green energy because we would have
really
good advancements done.
But then nobody's getting kickbacks.
But nobody's
making money from that.
How can a Democrat get rich if we actually help the people?
Any politician get rich if they decide they're just going to do that.
That's
insane.
Too. Yeah.
But unfortunately, our country has fallen to the point where crooked is the new norm.
Yeah.
To find honest politicians, they sit there and they'll tell lies about every both sides telling lies about both candidates,
crooked,
up and down.
Yep.
And
crooked's the new norm, and weird's not weird, and what is weird is, they try to tell you is not weird.
Yeah, and it's funny because some of the rumor or some of the stuff they're spreading has nothing to do with policy.
And what's normal, they tell you is weird.
Like they're talking about Kamala. She used to dress in, a certain way and date guys. It's like, she's a woman. She's allowed to date guys.
Yeah. Why not?
But she's not dating girls. And even if she was, as long as they're both hot, that's cool.
That's right. Absolutely.
That's my definition of gay marriage. As long as both girls are hot, I'm good with that.
I 100% support it as long as they're hot.
Why not?
Oh, that's fine.
Yeah. But, it's funny. And they keep saying, Trump's going to pull back gay marriage. They said that back in 2016. Didn't happen.
Well, you want to hear another headline?
He sat there on 60 Minutes and said, no, it's the law. It's been settled. It's done.
It's settled. It's done.
It's finished.
Same thing about the abortion fight. Donald Trump said, no, it's in the state's hands now where it should be. And here's a headline. They said, if Donald Trump did, if they got rid of Roe versus Wade and blah, 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 that it would cease abortions and people would be in back alleys with hangers. headline today, U.S. abortion numbers have risen since Roe versus Wade was overturned.
Yeah.
So still, because it goes to the states.
It's not illegal.
And the states can decide.
Everyone just assumes it's automatically
illegal. I know. It's ridiculous. But it's a non-issue. And the Democrats are in a panic because Donald Trump has made it a non-issue.
Well, there's so many people who that's their sole point of voting.
That's why the Democrats freaked out over it.
But yet it didn't happen during Donald Trump's term.
No.
It happened during Joe Biden's term.
Think about it. What would the Democrats do if there's no abortion issue and there's no racial issue? How do they campaign?
Yeah, they can't campaign on the economy because they don't believe in that. They're going to raise taxes. I love when they say, oh, they just want to cut taxes for the rich. Everybody who is not rich got a bigger tax cut than anybody who was. All right, we got to take a quick break now. I went over by a minute or two, but this is Roger B. This is Locked and Loaded, and you're listening to America's Web Radio.
This is Dr. Hal Schurz from the Doctor's Lounge on America's Web Radio. I want to thank you for your support. Our show is brought to you by the Docs for Patient Care Foundation, which is the only physician-led healthcare think tank in the country. Our website is www.pcfoundation.org. We need you to support our organization so that we can continue to bring you this show and the information that you need so that you can support the healthcare of you and your family.
Veteran-owned, America's Web Radio would like to thank all of our incredible patrons. We wouldn't be able to do this without you. If you are not already a patron, you can help us continue to produce some of the most informative and entertaining shows on the internet by becoming a patron. Patrons of America's Web Radio are the first to receive information about new shows and links to the latest podcast episodes. Join now and receive a free gift while supplies last. For more information and to join our family, please visit www.patreon.com/AmericasWebRadio. If you have questions, contact us at gm@AmericasWebRadio.com. And as always, thank you for listening.
What will Victor say next? Find out every Tuesday at 1 p.m. on the On Point with Victor show, only on America's Web Radio.
Hey folks, this is Victor with the On Point with Victor show. Make sure you listen every Tuesday 1 to 2, only right here on America's Web Radio, the On Point with Victor show. Remember folks, I'm not angry, I'm just right. And you can find out why every Tuesday from 1 to 2, the On Point with Victor show, only right here on America's Web Radio.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls. This is Roger B., and you're listening to Locked and Loaded. Now, we got off topic a bit today talking about some climate change, which I'm going to consider that talk about prepping because prepping is something I haven't covered in a while, and a lot of people now are realizing that in a pinch, would they be able to afford enough food to be able to store for any length of time? Right now is probably the hardest time to do that because groceries have gone up in price so much it's hard to buy in bulk anymore. And it's hard to store food sometimes for a long time. But right now would be a time, if you had stored it, you may be digging into some of your reserves going, you know what, if I can hold out for another 6 or 8 months, prices may start to fall again and I'll be able to restock this at a cheaper price as I use it at a cheaper price I bought. Now, you're limited as to certain foods. I know canned goods are usually good for several years. Dried rice, dried pasta, things like that are good for several years also. And they're easy to store as long as you keep them dry. So there's a lot of food that can be stored. And it's not even a matter of if it's unavailable. It would be a matter of if it's available at a price that you would want to pay. And things like this are gonna matter in the future. Now, it seems like our supply lines are coming back to normal after the big plandemic that we had, after the COVID plandemic. Things are coming back to normal. Supply chains are back to where they should be. However, prices, unfortunately, have stayed inflated because I believe a lot of companies and people and businesses have realized, you know what? If they're willing to pay the higher price, let's just keep it going, see how far we can get with this. And the only thing that's going to change that is competition. You can't regulate somebody into lowering the prices. You're going to have competition that can lower the prices. And if you don't believe this can happen, look at your local gas stations on the corner. When one lowers their price by 2 cents, the other guy on the other corner is going to do the same thing. And that's what it's going to take for people to get better grocery prices. We're going to have a huge supply. But unfortunately, with the cost of fuel, everything goes up in price. Every single thing is related to the cost of energy and or fuel in some way. That's what people don't realize. I had a guy standing in line next to me at a convenience store, and he was buying two 32-ounce beers, the 40-ounce beers. And he was telling me, I don't care nothing about no gas prices because I ain't got no car. And I was going, oh, well, how do you think those beers got here? He goes, what do you mean? They came on a beer truck. I go, right. And what is that beer? Is that beer truck run on gasoline? He goes, well, yeah. I go, well, so if gasoline goes up, what's going to happen to the price of those beers? And he kind of looked at me like a deer in the headlights with his mouth kind of hanging open. He goes, those beers are going to cost a lot more. Instead of you up here buying two, you're going to be able to buy one. And then he suddenly like kind of looked at everything, looking, and could see the wheels in his brain were spinning. And I thought that's all I had to do was get him thinking and make him understand that even if you don't have a car, even if you have an electric car, the cost of fuel and energy is always going to affect every single thing you purchase outside of what you can produce yourself. Unless you're growing your own food, growing your own animals' food, growing your own animals, groceries are always going to cost you more. Any supplies you need, everything at Home Depot or Walmart that you do have to buy is going to cost you more as fuel prices rise. Now, we're starting to see a decrease in fuel, and from what I understand, it's because of releasing some of the National Strategic Reserves. Now, these were the strategic reserves that Donald Trump wanted to refill when gas went down to, or fuel or crude oil went down to almost a negative rate, just a few dollars per barrel instead of where it is now at $60 or $80 per barrel. He wanted to stock up when it was the cheapest point it had been in several decades. But again, politicians in Congress and Senate voted it down. They voted to not refill the strategic reserves or overfill them at that time, which would have been the perfect time because everything was so inexpensive, it would have cost taxpayers almost nothing. Donald Trump, if anything, and whether you like him or you hate him, he's a businessman. He's a successful businessman. Has he declared bankruptcy? Absolutely. Because the way our tax code is written, sometimes it's cheaper to declare bankruptcy than keep a business going. It's cheaper to declare bankruptcy on one business and start a new one. That's the way the tax code is written. You have to be able to get the write-off to continue doing what you're doing in a certain way. And it's funny because I remember Hillary Clinton argued with him during the debates about, well, you took this tax break and that tax break. Goes, yeah, of course I did. I'm not going to pay more than I need to. And your supporters, they're all taking the same tax breaks I am. You want to stop the tax breaks? Then take them away. Change the law. And it's crazy because they always say, oh, these tax breaks, they only help the rich. It's like the tax breaks for people who are not rich were a higher percentage rate than people who were making more money. So it's just, it's politics getting in the way of public policy, which is, it happens all the time. Unfortunately, politics has become more corrupted and more about the politics than it has about serving the people or serving a term. Now it's just about getting the job, keeping it, and making as much as you can while you're there. And that's going to continue. And it's funny because I saw a video today where somebody was talking about, yeah, these guys sat down and they decided to write our government documents. And the first thing they said, well, you have right to free speech. The very second thing they wrote down, number two in their list was, you need a gun. Yep, because you can have number one, but you're going to need a gun. So I was like, yeah, and that's true. You know, it's unfortunate that as we devolve or as the economy gets more and more stressed by the taxes and the government resistance and things like that, the prices are going to go up. And everybody thinks the price of everything is just going up naturally. Most of it is driven by government interference. I had a guy tell me, yeah, my rate went up on my apartment. I can't afford all my bills now. But what he doesn't realize is that the government raised the property taxes on that property. So now his landlord has a higher tax bill. So what does he do? He passes that on to the people who rent his property. And it's funny because the sale of housing is just getting out of control. Most of it is driven by increased taxes. Taxes go higher, rent goes higher. Happens every single time. Because the guy who owns, if you have a rental property or you own one, you know, if they raise the taxes on you, you pass that down to your renter. If you're renting a property and you vote to increase the taxes on your landlord, you're just voting to increase your rent. So realize that as much as you may not like your landlord, he is entrenched in the system. He is driven by what his costs are. If you make his cost more, it's going to make your rent more. He's not going to foot the difference. He's going to pass it on to you. So think before you vote. Think about how it will affect you, and you have to go more than one step. If you just think, oh, I want my landlord to pay more taxes, that's a good idea. And then all of a sudden you get a raise in your rent, and you're like, oh, what happened here? Oh, why is he doing this? He just wants to make more money. No, no, you voted to tax him more, so he has to get that money from somewhere. And it's not coming out of his pocket, it's coming out of yours. Every tax in this country is paid by the end user. Let that sink in for just a second. All these taxes we pay are paid. We pay the taxes. When corporations make a lot of money, they have to pay a lot of taxes. And if we tax them more, they have to make more money to cover those expenses so the government can make more money. The government makes more money on a gallon of gasoline than the company manufacturing it, transporting it, and bringing it to market does. So that's something to consider. And the second thing in the Constitution, the right to keep and bear arms shall not be infringed, because they knew if any government was given ultimate power or absolute power, it would become unreasonable and you wouldn't be able to deal with them. They would take advantage of that to the nth degree. And it's funny how much governments want to take guns away from upstanding citizens. They want to make sure you can't protect yourself. They want to make sure they're protected and you can't come after them if the time were to come. Now, I'm not saying it's that time yet. Right now, the ballot box is still the best weapon we have against crooked politicians, against crooked governments, and against illegal things that are going on. The best way is to vote the people out who are doing wrong. And it's hard to do sometimes through the haze of misinformation, especially now that the internet is available. People can start rumors. They can make up stories. They can create pictures with AI. And you got to consider, what are they trying to tell you with this made up picture or with this, you know, like there was some rumor about Kamala's VP candidate that was entirely untrue. But yet somebody started the rumor and ran with it. And it was entirely untrue, but yet they did it anyway. And then there's rumors about Trump. There's rumors about J.D. Vance and Kamala. Most of it is just, a lot of it's fog that you have to get through. And you may find it offensive, something they've done in the past or something that somebody said they did. But you have to look at their policy. Where do they stand on your tax rates? Where do they stand on your tax bills, your property tax bills? Where do they stand on your income tax? Where do they want to do? Oh, we're not going to raise the taxes on anybody in the middle class. And then you ask them, well, what's middle class? Well, anybody making under $400,000 a year combined. It's like $400,000 a year. That's like the top 5% of income earners in the entire country in households. So basically, they're not going to go up on taxes on anybody making less than that. That means if they do, $400,000 is a huge jump, and most people, if they're running a corporation, your business can make $400,000 a year. But then you take all your expenses out, pay all your employees, and it's not there anymore. It's like they're trying to set these unrealistic goals. Then they start bringing it down from there. All of a sudden, it's like, well, $250,000, that's going to be the threshold. And that's for married couples with a family. So all of a sudden you're looking at this going, well, me and my wife each make $100,000 a year. She got a bonus last year. We got some deductions. Oh my God, we're going to be over the limit. We're going to be rich people. According to the Democrats to the politicians, we're going to be rich people and we're going to be taxed at the higher rate. So keep in mind when you hear these numbers and you hear they're talking about rich people, make them define that. Because everybody's definition of rich is a little different. Some people are just rich with the family they have and the friends, and that's fine. Other people are rich because they make over $150,000 as a single person with no kids, and that could be enough to put them into the rich category. And, of course, those rich people, rich people who own things, they own property, they own manufacturing companies, they own businesses that employ millions upon millions of people. If they get taxed enough, they're going to cut back. They're going to cut down. They're going to back up like when Obamacare went into effect. Any companies with over 50 employees were taxed at a different rate and had to provide more benefits than companies that had less than 50 people. So any company was at that threshold, all of a sudden back down from expansion plans. slow down, let a few people go to get under that 50 employee limit. Because when you're right there at the base of it, it's going to make a huge difference in your profit margin, in the amount you're willing to pay your employees, because now all of a sudden you have to provide them with other benefits. So keep in mind, try and look at the details. Try and go five steps ahead of where the base model is. Like say, when politicians are trying to make guns illegal, figure out what they're trying to do. Do they really want to stop crime, or do they want to stop private citizens from having guns at all? Do they want to have you rely on public protection? They want to have you rely on police departments and security companies to provide your security. They don't want you to be able to provide it yourself. And unfortunately, if this keeps up and our prices keep going up, if groceries keep costing more, crime is going to go up. It's going to get more and more difficult to maintain enough money to be able to support your family. And this is going to drive people to do things they normally wouldn't do. Providing for your family should be one of your number one goals. And if you can't do it with a regular job or a regular skilled position, then you're going to try and find some other way to do it. And there are lots of opportunities out there, but of course, you may get into a business and start something and start it rolling, and then the government comes on and goes, oh, you have more than 50 employees, we're going to tax you more. Oh, you're making too much money, we're going to tax you more. And what you're going to have to do is those taxes are going to get passed on to the next, down to your employees. And they're going to think you're just trying to be greedy, but when in reality, the government is costing him more, he's got to charge more, he's got to cut back, and everybody suffers. It's so hard to understand that the way things work with the economy is the end user pays all the taxes. And I know that people come up to me all the time and say, oh, we need to tax corporations more. It's like, why? Because they need to pay their fair share. I go, who pays their taxes? Well, they pay their taxes. Where do they get their money from? Well, they sell stuff to people. I go, who, what people? All people. So all those people are going to pay that company more money because they got taxed more. And until they realize how their voting affects things day in and day out, it's never going to change. There's going to be nothing that can be done that's going to change that. You have to go beyond the 30-second TV or internet commercials that you see. You have to look beyond what politicians say and look at what they do. Acta non verba. Action, not words. Show me what you've done. Don't tell me what you're going to do. Tell me what you've done already. What have you done? What are you doing now? You know, what have you done for me lately? What are you doing? Because if you just ask somebody to promise you everything, they'll promise you whatever you want to get your vote, and then they'll never look back. And they'll pass every single policy that they want to, whether it's fair, unfair, for the middle class, against the middle class, they don't care. And if it gets to the point, now, I know a lot of discussion was had about the 2020 election and how there was accusations of it not being fair, being rigged, whatever. I understand all that on both sides. There's always going to be that questionability if there's something new happening with election law. And unfortunately, in 2020, they had allowed mail-in ballots for the first time ever. Other than an absentee ballot, anybody voting could mail their ballot in. And that caused so many problems with keeping account of the logistics, keeping account of the voting, who was voting, how many times they voted. It wasn't feasible for us to have that type of voting system. And I understand with the pandemic going on, this seemed like a good solution at the time. But unfortunately, there are people who took advantage of it, treated it the wrong way, and ended up possibly causing us to have an election that was in question. Now, if all our elections become questionable, it's going to be very difficult to believe that America is a bastion for democracy. Even though our former government is not a democracy, we do let people vote. They do have a say in things. And if those votes are diminished by people collecting false ballots or ballots that aren't theirs or stuffing ballot boxes, then it's no longer a matter of pure democracy. And I know we have the Electoral College, and that changes the way things are done to protect groups of people from being lorded over by a few people in a smaller area. It prevents the whole rest of the country from having a voice necessarily. So, and I'm going to get into something real quick here before we go. I have a few more minutes, but Right now, I'm getting more and more questions from people about, well, if I want to buy a gun, what should I get? What do I buy? What do I need? Where should I go? Who should I ask? And I'm going to tell everybody, if you have somebody who you know personally who is an enthusiast, that should be your first place to start. If not, go to the local indoor range, outdoor range. Talk to the people there. See if they can give you any advice. Now, not all the advice you get is going to be accurate or applicable to your particular circumstance, but try and find somebody who's going to give you the broadest answer they can and let you ask them questions to narrow it down. Those are going to be the people who will actually, they're looking at it in a more this objective way. They're trying to limit the information they give you based on your needs or your wants or what you're trying to accomplish. But if you just talk to one guy and he says, oh, you need one of these. Well, how do you know? You didn't ask me what I needed it for. You didn't ask me what I was going to do with it. And you're going to tell me what kind of weapon I need without having any information about what I think I need or what I want to do with this weapon without asking me any questions. You're just going to randomly suggest something. And there are lots of people, there are a lot of enthusiasts out there the same way. They have favorite brands they tend to favor, and that's the ones they're going to guide you to. Whether or not that is the best situation for you is, it's probably not the case. Now, every now and then somebody gets lucky, they recommend a weapon that person ends up being one of the best things they could have chosen. But everybody's got different factors when it's involved. Do you have kids in your house? Do you have a spouse who's not interested in learning how to use a weapon at all? Do you live in a rural area? Do you live in an urban area? Are you planning on carrying this weapon day to day? Are you planning on just leaving it in a nightstand drawer until it's needed? If you have kids, do you have to lock it up? How can you lock it up and still have good access to it? All these questions have to be answered before anybody can give you a valid recommendation on what they think you should purchase when it comes to a weapon. And right now, the prices of weapons are as cheap as they've been probably in 5 years. So if you have any interest in acquiring something, now would be a very good time. Or if you want to add to a collection, again, now would be a good time. Or if you want to expand into another realm, if you have a pistol now and that's your only weapon and you're considering buying a shotgun or a rifle to expand your ability to protect your family a little more, now's the time. The prices are as cheap as they've been in a long, long time. And the gun laws have not changed that much in too many places to where you still are relatively unrestricted if you are an upstanding citizen, if you can pass a background check, if you are a citizen. All these factors matter. So if you can purchase one, now's the time to start looking. And if you have a friend who's into it, ask them first. If they come out with a recommendation without asking you a single question, or without stating a few things like, oh, if you use it for this, you're going to need that. If you use it for that, you're going to need this. If they don't make statements to that effect, you're probably asking the wrong person. Try and find somebody else. The first thing someone should do when you ask them a question about buying a weapon, they should start asking you questions. That's going to be their way of determining what could best suit your needs by them finding out what you need it for, what your expectations are. And you want something that's going to exceed your expectations in every way possible, with it being cost, with it being efficiency, whether it being fit and finish, whether it being the way it fits your hand. Because everybody's hands are different. Not all weapons are the same. Rifles, pistols, shotguns, it all matters what size person you are too. Someone 5'2 is not going to need the same size rifle as someone who's 6'2. So it makes a difference. Now, some of them have adjustability, which can compensate for a lot of this. When it comes to handguns, again, grip size is adjustable on some weapons, but they need to look at you, how well they know you, see how big your hands are, see how small your hands are, see if that's going to be a factor for you. All these questions should be answered before you even go start looking. And once you start looking, get your hands on as many things as you can and get somebody to instruct you on how to hold the weapon correctly. Whether it's a rifle, a shotgun, a pistol, get some instruction on how to hold it properly so you know when you pick up a weapon, you can size it for yourself and see if it fits you. See if you have any weaknesses. Like if you have, if you shoot left-handed and you're right eye dominant, that's going to be a difficult situation for you to adjust to. You can try and change your eye dominance with training, or you can try and use your right hand. there are things that can be done to overcome certain issues that some people have when they're looking to purchase a first weapon. And these are the kind of things you need to answer. I really wish it was a quiz online I could recommend, but I haven't seen one yet that would just walk you through the steps, ask you the questions, and make you think about the answers so you could get the absolute best version of what you need for you and your family and make it most efficient, make it have the most protective features that you're going to need. If you have kids in the house, a lot of times a manual safety is something I would recommend. Or if you have people who have no interest in learning how to use the weapon, again, a manual safety, although some people hate them, in certain situations, they serve their purpose. They help define who will easily be able to use that weapon and who will have to fumble with it and figure things out a little bit, especially with kids. You know, now a lot of kids, once they get past a certain age, a safety is not going to stop them. They've seen enough movies. They've played enough video games. They know how weapons work probably better than you do. Even though they've never actually owned one, they've played video games where every action that someone has to commit to with a real rifle or pistol, they have to do in the video game. And this is something, if a child is old enough to be able to function and manipulate a weapon, he or she needs to be instructed on how to handle one, how not to touch stuff that's not theirs. All these lessons need to be taught, and they need to be taught by people in their home. Their family needs to teach them first. Don't expect school to teach your kids about gun safety. It's not going to happen. As far as kids are concerned, as far as teachers are concerned, kids and guns should not even exist in the same household. They would rather nobody had weapons in their household, which unfortunately is not realistic. But it comes down to you're going to have to take the reins on gun safety in your own house. You're going to have to be there to instruct somebody and to see how things are done or not done. If you don't tell them, they're going to learn by watching TV, movies, playing video games, hear from friends, and that's not how they need to be educated. Just like you wouldn't leave sex education up to your kids' friends to teach them everything, or let him or her watch porn to determine how sex education takes place, you would not let people who don't have any interest in weapons instruct your children on how they should act. A lot of people, the thing was, don't touch it, run away. It's like, you don't have to do that. If you know anything about weapons, you can secure it. If it's in a box, close the box, bring it to an adult, explain to them the situation. If not, then, you know, if you know how to manipulate it, there are kids who are 8, 9, 10, 12 years old who know how to operate weapons. They shoot very proficiently, and they understand gun safety better than a lot of adults do. Adults who have not had the exposure. And if you hadn't had the exposure, find somebody to train you who is safety conscious. That's important. That needs to be the first priority with everybody. Absolutely. Even if you've been shooting for 20 years, keep in mind, safety is going to be the first thing you want to teach somebody if you're instructing somebody. You're teaching somebody the ins and outs of gun ownership or gun being able to use and manipulate a weapon. Safety is a number one concern. Because you don't, a lot of times with a weapon, you don't get a second chance to make a mistake. One mistake is all it takes. And you don't want to do that if you can possibly help it. So, alright, so keep those things in mind. Get out there and go shopping. If you have any extra money, if you haven't spent it all on groceries, go out there and look at some of these weapons that are on sale. The technology available is phenomenal. The number of weapons available is getting bigger and bigger. Even in restricted states like California, more and more guns are going on to the able-to-buy rosters. All right. I am Roger B. This is Locked and Loaded, and you have been listening to America's Web Radio.
The views, opinions, and content of the show hosts and their guests appearing on America's Web Radio are their own and do not necessarily reflect those of the station.
You're listening to America's Web Radio on the AmericasBroadcastNetwork.com. Thank you for listening.